our voices, and at Christ's birth be peace on earth. Meanwhile,
hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas.
bride. Whoa, we're caroling through the night. Whoa, this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. And cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes are shining down the gloom. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright, and we're caroling through the night.
You're listening to Clubhouse Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, broadcasting Hudson, Catskill, Acre, and Acre. You're just listening to the Christmas, This Christmas by Chris Brown. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about the court case with NCAA. And we'll be back after this little song break.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked jerky jockey and you drive a crooked hoss, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
Thank you. Okay, clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. We joke around or can be serious, so come here being racist or delirious. We don't make fun of, we don't bully, don't pull on the back a nobody hoodie. Accept everybody the way they are, just facts, cause every time we sign in we make a pact. Cause it's the clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. We follow the rules, community guidelines too, so nobody here acting a fool. We got radio, we got tracks, then we hit the art room and relax. Now we about to hit a throwback. Don't hog that remote, Bubba. You better give me the remote. Give me the remote, Bubba. Cause it's the clubhouse.
You were just listening to a clubhouse original theme song by DJ AJ. The views we express on the Clubhouse Radio may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse parent organizations, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So today we're going to be talking about that court case about the NCAA, about where college athletes should be getting paid, like whether or not they should be getting paid. So on the show, we have Phoebes on Skype.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, you sure can.
Cool. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. it's exciting, right? Like a week ago, the Supreme Court decided that they're going to hear a case that up to now had just been considered in some of the lower courts about whether or not schools should be able to pay more than what they're currently allowed to pay college athletes to. In particular, on like really competitive teams like college football, college basketball, these teams that are bringing in billions of dollars of revenue for the schools and for the NCAA. But meanwhile, students continue to be capped at what's effectively a free ride, right? Because with pay with college, it's really you paid in educational benefits. But in this case, they're asking like, hey, can we give more of that? Like, instead of just paying a full ride for college, could we also offer to pay for somebody's graduate degree in the future or other sorts of benefits that right now the NCAA says, no, we need to keep it at the same level for all those schools. Yeah. And the reason I thought it was interesting is you, Imani, brought up a few weeks ago on the show this question of paying high school athletes. So this is sort of directly related. And I'm curious, when you made your case about high school athletes, like why that felt important to you.
Well, I feel like it's very extremely important to me because I myself am a high school athlete. And like, I know the struggles. I know that I can't have a job because I play sports, because there's no time to do sports and school, get your homework done, clean up your house, like do all this stuff, and to play sports at the same time. Now we don't have the money to buy like basketball sneakers or say like baseball bats, like any of this. So yeah, that's mainly my reason for bringing this subject up.
One of the arguments that is really being looked at with this case is whether or not we should treat college athletes like they're students or like they're employees in this. And there's this question about whether or not student athletes right now are getting like a fair enough share of how much money they're bringing in. But you know, the NCAA is kind of making this case like we still want college athletes to think about themselves as students, like not just employees of a professional sports team, right? It's the difference between being professional athletes versus being a student who also plays sports. And I think a lot of people who see what it takes to be an NCAA Division I college football player, like, it already is professional, so why not like actually pay them appropriately?
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on like how this question of like professional versus like being a student in school like matters?
Got you. So my opinion is, well, basically we're students and we're employees because of the fact, like, we're students in the sense where it's like we're being taught, like we're studying, we're in school, but we're employees in the sense where we're playing for you, like we're getting you money, like this is, so we should be getting paid for getting you money, for getting you paid, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's a great case, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if the sports weren't set up to be a business, then maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation, but it has been. So now, why are the athletes the ones who are doing the labor, who, like you said, are getting injured, who have to be committed, like, really intensely? And, like, I'm sure a lot of college athletes would be like, it takes away from my ability to, like, do a lot of other things in my life, right? Like, that I'm showing up for this commitment. Like, where's our fair share of that if it's going to exist and you're going to treat it like a business?
Exactly. Well, recently I've been, like, reading articles about that case, and they were saying that they feel like they shouldn't pay athletes because they know that some of the schools, like some of the rival schools, won't be able to pay their athletes. So that would become an issue, like, with gloating athletes. Like, it's just too much, I feel like. And I could understand that. I can understand their reasoning for not paying them. I think that's a pretty good argument.
Are you thinking about going to play college sports?
Yeah, so mainly if I go to college, because I'm not 100% sure on whether or not, like, what I want to do in college or everything. So if I do, I'm definitely going to play a sport. That would probably be one of the main reasons for me going to school. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, one of the cases that the NCAA has made is, like, yeah, we make all this money on some of these, like, really popular Division I sports, but that money ends up making it possible for us to support scholarships for, like, Division III athletes or for athletes who are in sports that just, like, don't rake in the money the same way as college football does. So there is actually, like, a deeper relationship to some of these, like, really big, well-known college sports teams, and then just, like, how a lot of other people experience college sports. Like, I played college soccer and softball, and, like, yeah, it was a very different vibe, I think, playing for me Division III than it is for what is a much more professional standard when you get into some, like, Division I sports. So it's this whole sort of case, like, it's kind of ignoring some of the nuances of, like, what does this mean for some of the other sports and stuff. It's really focused on the big one. But I do think that's something to consider, too, is, like, what's the healthy ecosystem for athletes who are in other sports, too? And when you made your case, too, about paying a high school athlete, you know, I was like, huh, what about, like, people who do high school theater or drama and, like, similarly have times of the year when they can't make it to, they can't have a job or can't do something else? Like, yeah, like, how do we think about in general that. This thing? Yeah.
I was thinking about that because I know that during basketball season they have play, and some of my basketball teammates were in the play too, and that was taking up all their time, so much of their time where they had to quit basketball because the coaches were upset that they were taking so much time out of basketball practices to be on the play. Like, they weren't committing enough, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, like, also, like, the way sports commitments show up, it affects your ability to also not just work, but, like, do other extracurricular activities or things you might be passionate about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe the answer is a better balance of, like, how demanding sports are compared to, like, other expectations?
I feel like they should just think of other ways to pay students. Like I've heard that people, like, the administration have been paying, like, students in grades, like, and scholarships instead of actual money. Like they're just getting, like, extra credits, like, for passing classes. And, like, even, like, this is such a big argument where, like, schools are canceling sports. Like, Stanford eliminated 11 sports this season because of this issue. Like, it's just getting out of hand, I feel like. And they should just think of other ways. Like, they can, I don't know, free lunch meals, free housing. Like, I don't know, like free classes. Like, they can take their classes freely. Like, they can do, like, free meal plans or something.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really compelling. And because your point, right, is, like, you're asking these people to be committed to something that means they can't meet those needs other ways that they could. So
yeah,
make sure that they have food. And I think that is part of what is currently allowed with the NCAA. Like, there is some of that, but it's just, like, it's really limited. And basically, for the last many decades, the NCAA has just gotten richer and richer and richer on these sports, but the athletes haven't, right? Because they've been stuck on this cap. And so they're asking, I think, the same question that you are, which is, like, are there more, and the schools are already starting to do it, is thinking of more creative ways that they can basically compensate those athletes for what they're giving to the school and what they're doing. And it's interesting to think that one of the benefits is, like, now they could give pay for graduate school in the future. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious too how that might, like, affect somebody who's thinking about their future in college sports, because, like, a lot of college athletes, like, don't go on to professional sports. So maybe it also creates more opportunities. You don't just go from, like, I've got everything, it's great, 4 years, and there's just, like, a cold cutoff if you don't end up going on to the NBA or the NFL for many reasons, right?
Yeah. So, like, going off of that, like, the fact that they're getting a lot of money, like, the question is, why are they spending all this money on, like, stadiums and, like, basketball courts when they could be paying the actual athletes? Like, why do you want your athletes to just be working for free? Like, honestly, I feel like this whole system is rigged. We don't need to go to college. Like, why don't we just have, like, this outside basketball team, like, a bunch of them, like, a big organization of basketball teams, and just play for free? Yeah, and play outside. We don't have to pay for a gym.
Maybe. Would you be part of that? Is that
how of course do it? I would. Yeah. I would do it right now.
Well, people have started different sports leagues in the past, so maybe you can be inspired to do that, right?
Definitely.
So you think it'd be healthier to separate in some ways, like, sports from school to some extent?
Yeah. I feel like either have sports, like only on the weekends, or, like, only on, like, after school times. Like, it's either or. You can't do both. Because schoolwork, tests, studying, like, all this, like, and we have to work on top of that.
Finding the right balance, exactly, so that you can enjoy, right? Like, still have fun playing sports, like, make it be about that and do the other things you want to do. Yeah, and I think the more that colleges are the place where they're in some ways, like, where you train people to be professional athletes, then you are already blurring the lines when you do that, right? Versus having maybe, like, minor league baseball, which is a pathway to become a professional baseball player, right? That's outside of a college setting, right? There's different ways to do it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you giving, like, kind of an update on your feelings about this topic and just updating our listeners about, you know, this is kind of a big deal. The Supreme Court hasn't really gotten into issues around the NCAA before. So, and when the Supreme Court gets involved, it usually sets precedent that lasts a long time. So the outcome of this case will be interesting. My understanding is they'll probably give a decision in June. So we'll just have to look forward to that and update people when we get there. But thanks for having me on to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, you got any final thoughts about it? Thank you so much for being on. So, no, I don't really have any, like, extra ideas. But right now we're going to play Frosty the Snowman. And we'll see you in a little bit.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Who's never there with the tall silk hat? Muffler of wool and a tummy that's fat. King for a day and he loves the roll. With a broomstick, cane, and a heart of gold.
That's right. Frosty the Snowman, he's a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty. Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Let's run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away.
So down to the village with the broomstick in his hand,
running here and there all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler, stop. For Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, over the hills of snow.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Here's what we do at the clubhouse. 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 It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mine, it's your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the video at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse. No judgment at the clubhouse. No drama at the clubhouse. We accept you at the clubhouse. Got field trips at the clubhouse. Got art supplies at the clubhouse. Creativity at the clubhouse. Paint your own wall at the clubhouse. Got a TV at the clubhouse. Got Wi-Fi at the clubhouse. Food and snacks at the clubhouse. Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
That was an original Clubhouse theme song by DJ WIC. So in this half of this of the segment, we got Q.
Yo, yo.
And we're just going to do a calm rap radar. We're basically just going to be talking about the song that played right before you speak. So right now we got Christmas Night in Harlem by Louis Armstrong.
Gal strutting with her bow through the streets covered white with snow. Happy smiles everywhere you go. It's Christmas night in Harlem. People are feeling mighty good in that good old neighborhood. Hear it now, be it understood. Christmas night in Harlem. Oh, everyone is gonna sit up until after three. Everyone, we be all lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh, come on now, every Jane and Joe, greet your sweet neat the mistletoe with a kiss and a hidey-ho. Christmas night in Harlem. Sit up until after three. Everyone be all lit up like a Christmas tree. Come on now, every Jane and Joe, greet your sweet niece to mistletoe with a kiss and a hidey-ho. Christmas night in Harlem. Ba-do-dis, ba-ba-do-dis, it-dis-et. Ba-do-dis, it-dis-et. Full of belly to the oh, what a night in Harlem. Oh, well, come on now, every Jane and Joe. I greet your sweet neat the mistletoe. I with a kiss and a go, go, go.
So that song was A Christmas Night in Harlem by Louis Armstrong. I really liked that beat. It was like a nice, cool jazz band in the back. Yeah, I don't really listen to Louis like that, though. So, now we're going to play a song by Ray Charles called The Spirit of Christmas.
Christmas is the time of year for being with the ones we love, sharing so much. much joy and cheer. What a wonderful feeling, watching the ones we love having so much fun. I was sitting by the fireside, taking a walk through the snow, listening to a children's choir, singing songs about Jesus, the blessed way that he came to walk us. Why can't it remain? Oh, that spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, that was The Spirit of Christmas by Ray Charles. I like that. It was, like, nice and calm. Like, it sounded like something I would do in a chorus concert. But, yeah, I like Ray Charles. I watched, like, a couple movies that was, like, based on his life. Yeah.
That was a good movie.
It was pretty fire.
One of the childhood favorites.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm gonna listen. We're gonna listen to a song by Ron DMC called "The Christmas in Handle."
Hollis.
Little Lep, where have you been?
Naughty, naughty.
Hey, that's right. Oh, the naughty you. Keeping me from my rounds. I'm late as it is. Now stay put. Don't go anywhere till I get back. Understand me?
Nice.
It was just nice and smooth, and it was like it gave me like mad olden days vibes, like
so. Yeah, like back, you know, I wasn't alive back when Run DMC was really, like, I was pretty young. I was like three or so when three. Around when, yeah,
three,
around when this song came out. I was like around three,
bro. They had Christmas cards and like birthday cards that played music, and I had one with like Run DMC. It was like the best card mm-hmm. I ever got.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, I remember cards like that for him.
Oh, yeah. Now they have the cards where you open and you get the video. That's pretty cool, too.
2020.
Yeah, well, I mean.
What if you get a card that's like that and it rains?
No, that's fire.
That would be weird.
That's fire.
I feel like I would cry.
That would be dope.
It would be pretty cool, but I'd cry.
But yeah.
Why would you cry of a card?
Because, like, some cars just make me emotional, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, Tears of Joy.
Mm.
Like, you know, like, we've all received that one present that really meant a lot to you.
Mm. Never heard of that. I'm joking. Okay. I can lighten up the mood real big.
Okay. I was like, wow.
Yeah, real serious real quick?
I was like, oh.
Nah, not today.
I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So, well, in the recent years, so what's one gift you guys really like that you guys received?
My best gifts that I ever got were gifts that I got myself.
Okay.
Definitely.
Me? It was a Mongoose bike. It was my first bike. And then my uncle stole it and broke it.
Ooh.
Dang.
But it don't take away the fact that that was my favorite bike, and I broke it first.
Oh, okay.
And I blamed it on him.
So you were like, oh, it's already broken, but he broke it. So now it's time for me to get another bike.
So I got another bike for free.
So you're like, yes.
It's a free method.
Exactly. Okay, cool. So now you just admitted on the radio, your mom might have been listening. She's like,
Nah, she don't listen to the radio.
Nah, she doesn't listen to the radio. Nah, she wouldn't know. She wouldn't understand. She couldn't get it.
Too many buttons on the radio.
Too many buttons. Right. I feel like mine... I have a tie. It's probably between, like, it was, like, a really, really fire Android tablet.
Ooh.
It was pretty fire. It did, like, a lot.
Keep going.
I got, like, I don't know. Oh, yeah, it was a Batman castle. It was really fat, too. It was, like, the size of my head, like, times my body. And so I was just as tall as it, and so I would be able to, like, play right by it, and I would throw, like, my little Batman in it, and I'd be, like, going all through it. It was, like, the best experience of my life.
I got a question.
Mm.
P5, or the Xbox?
Don't ask me these questions.
I need an answer.
Listen. All I'm telling you is I'm a PlayStation type of guy because I can't really get behind Xbox. Number one, you're using batteries, okay?
Ooh, I think they switched it up this year, but go ahead.
Nah, there's two different versions of the remote. There's an electronic version, and then there's the batteries, I think.
Okay.
Obviously, they switched up the controller, which was a great move. The PS5 controller looks great. Mm-hmm. And, like, everybody's telling me, like, it works great and everything. So I can't wait to get mine. I don't think I have it this year.
So,
you know.
When you get your PlayStation 5, all right, so this is, like, I seen a couple of dudes doing it. They get, like, the virtual remote control car. You get, like, a racing car game. You plug in, like, the steering wheel and pedals.
Yeah.
Bro, can we make that into, like, a super, like, competition?
We could, actually. Mm. Like, you could probably make it competitive.
Make that into, like, a whole lead, like the Need for Speed lead.
Mm. Also, one thing I want to push for is Ranked Among Us. Give us Among Us Ranked.
Okay. I never played that. What is it about?
Among Us?
It's boring. It's trash.
Among Us is
it.
A great game. Don't talk down on Among Us like that.
It's trash.
Hate is also a strong word. Don't talk down on Among Us. Among Us is a great game. Among Us is a great game. Do not talk down on Among Us.
It's not all that.
We're not talking down on Among Us. Among Us is a great game.
If you never played Animal Crossing, you can't compare.
Animal Crossing is a great game, too, actually. I enjoyed Animal Crossing a lot this year.
It's like a 2020 version of, like, Sims.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
yeah,
more compatible, and you could fish.
Why I'm thinking I'm talking about Crossy Road.
Wow.
and other things related to gaming. Also, Fortnite recently just added the Black Panther, and they showed respect to him in the trailer, which was a great tribute. My respect for Fortnite went up after that.
And there's free emotes, so everybody's gonna get it.
Yes, especially me.
That's what's up. You gotta be good to get it though.
I have mine already. Don't tell anyone.
Wakanda forever?
Yeah.
Forever.
Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
For real.
But, you know, it's 6:51, so Imani.
Oh, yeah, we got to do our shout outs. So, shout out to Wave Farm and the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. And big shout out to Q for being on the show.
Thank you.
Big shout out to DJ Popcorn. And well, if you wanted to ever listen to the show or, like, follow the show, you can go on the show at 6 p.m. on Fridays on 90.7 FM and WGXC.org, or you can search Clubhouse Radio on, and our social media is at C2 Clubhouse. If you're 12 to 18 years old and you want to get involved in our program on this radio show, join us online or in person at the Catskill Clubhouse every Friday at 4:30 p.m. So now we're going
to
play.
Oh, wait. I have a few. Shout out to DJ Consu and DJ Phoebes in the back on Skype for helping us do the segments. Shout out to DJ Phoebes for being on today. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not shouting myself out. That's cocky. I don't do that.
You did a good job.
Thank you. But, yeah, so shout out to them. Also, if you have any ideas for us on radio show or topics you want us to speak about, you can email us at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. And we're going to close out with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Deuces.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Yes.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. In one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer...
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything in this story. The holiday message December 24th from Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan on COVID-19 was about saving lives. Quote, we are still in a community spread situation, unquote, he said. Quote, the last thing we want to do is see that ramp up due to Christmas gatherings, unquote. During a Facebook Live event December 24th, Ryan reported that another county resident had died of coronavirus. There have now been 31 deaths in Ulster County since the beginning of this month. Ryan said the county had 201 new COVID diagnoses the past 2 days, including, quote, an all-time high for the second wave, unquote, of 115 among results received December 23rd. Ryan said that many of the recent cases came from Halloween and Thanksgiving gatherings. Dutchess County now has 1,645 active cases of COVID, including 116 hospitalizations. Albany County reported 269 new positive cases of COVID-19 on December 24th and 4 more deaths. Quote, follow the guidelines, stay home, don't celebrate the holidays with anyone who doesn't live in your home, stop the spread and stay safe, unquote, Albany County Executive Dan McCoy wrote on Twitter. The Rensselaer County Health Department reported 69 new cases of COVID-19 on December 24th and the death of a 70-year-old man from Troy. On December 23rd, New York State reported that Greene County had 31 new COVID-19 cases and there were 19 new cases in Columbia County. Columbia County next holds coronavirus testing on January 5th at the Columbia County Firefighter Training Center, 50 Grandiniti Drive, Commerce Park in Ghent. Columbia County residents can pre-register at the link on the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello, this is Rob Gellis for today's Rob Around the County, and I am interviewing the president of the board of directors of the Rolf Jansen Historical Society, Leslie Doyle. Thank you very much, Leslie, for coming on my show today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Maybe you could discuss how the society came to be, their mission, and bring an example, maybe something historical that we could talk about.
Well, the society began in 1974 and was formed by a group of people who really felt that this was something very necessary as a means of preserving the history of the area. It was started in 1974 in anticipation of the celebration of America's bicentennial in 1976. And the thing that binds us all together is the Roelof Jansen Kill, or Roelof Jansen River, that starts actually up in Austerlitz and winds its way through what's called the Roelof Jansen area and ends up being a major tributary to the Hudson River. So, and our namesake, which is maybe a good place to start, was a Scandinavian explorer and farmer, basically, who was brought over to work for Van Rensselaer in the early 1600s and is attributed with having found what's now the Roelof Jansen Kill. And he was an interesting guy. He worked up in the Albany area and then eventually wended his way down to Manhattan, was given 62 acres of farmland along the Hudson River, died, and his very feisty wife, Annika Jans, remarried after being widowed to Everardus Bogardus, who was the first Dutch Reform minister in Manhattan, what became Manhattan, which was then, of course, New Amsterdam. Anyway, so they have a wonderful, interesting history and were very, very early settlers up in the Albany area and then down in New Amsterdam. And that is our namesake.
Very interesting.
And all of this can be found on our website, this very fascinating story.
Okay, well, you have developed quite a, your website has so much information, visually, audio, and visual. It seems to be, one that I looked at was a little documentary on Hillsdale.
Yes, and I should actually credit Peter Nicholas Fritsch with the maintenance and the creation of the newly revised website, and he really keeps it very much up to date, and he's also my husband, I'm proud to say, and a board member of the Roelof Jansen Historical Society. And the project that I believe that you're referring to was known as the Hillsdale Oral History Project. It was started by my predecessor, Peter Chipkowski, who was the president for several years, and he worked with two Hillsdale residents who have long been in the area, Julia Brandy and Marilyn Harrington, and you've probably heard of Harrington's. It's a very well-known store in the area. And the three of them began not only recording the oral history, but actually videotaping it. And the product, after about 5 years of very, very hard work and fundraising, which was mostly done by them, and of course we supported them in every possible way as one of our five towns, and they created not one but two documentaries which really tell many different aspects of the area, and it's beautifully illustrated. It has lilting dulcimer music in the background, and it really goes to folks who have lived in the area for a very, very long time, and it explains the origins of Hillsdale, what's significant about Hillsdale, which is just about... So the museum, I should hasten to say, the Historical Society Museum, which is in a repurposed historical Methodist Episcopal Church in Copaig Falls, which is part of the town of Copaig. So Hillsdale is maybe 5 minutes to the north of us, and it's got a really incredible history and is one of the larger towns in the area. And what else can I answer about this? It's a wonderful thing to watch. It's available. Both parts of it are available on our website. And it's just and I think that it's going to spur further oral history projects, including one that we hope to do in the near future about Boston Corner, which is now part of Ancrum, and which has its own very unique and amazing story.
What you're doing is fabulous. I mean, that's something was interesting in Hillsdale is that you have a lot of photos from the 50s.
It's firsthand history. No, it's really, and the fact that the folks are still around with these long, long memories And it's very important with these types of history to do it now. You can't wait necessarily because some of the interviewees are elderly. And so we've got to capture that history while we can.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say another way that we've tried to capture some of the local history was through when we were faced with